This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Hello, good morning. 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Beautiful Tuesday morning, isn't it? Cold outside and cloudy as well, so you should prepare yourself. We just might have a bit of light showers. I wouldn't want to see heavy rainfall yet, just yet, but it's looking like we definitely would see a bit of rain today. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew, and this morning I said earlier on when we were on the newspaper review that it's going to be a very interesting conversation. I have a wonderful guest with me in the studio, but before we go into his introduction, the NSAS memorial protest many have been talking about should hold tomorrow. That is if the organizers and the protesters say they are going to go ahead with it, regardless of what the Lagos State government is saying or the federal government is saying, that would concern other states. In River State here, at least, we haven't heard any major comments from the state government with regards to that. But we've had candlelight services and other processions that have been held in memory of those who lost their lives during the NSAS protest. But our conversation today isn't only going to be based on that, but it is built on that protest. Why? We've seen how, if for any reason, the NSAS protest showed us how Nigerian youths can come out, all of them, in one voice, every single one of them, marching on the streets, saying, we are not leaving until we see this sort of change. Did we get the exact change we wanted and demands that we was asked of on that protest? You may say no, but something fundamental happened. I mean, the leaders now know that Nigerian youths can, and if they choose to, then that's going to be a huge turnaround in the country. So it brings us to our conversation this morning and the major question we're asking. Youth participation in politics and in the process of selecting leaders. Oh, we have the not too young to run bill, many would say. So, of course, we should have young people in the process even more. But even with that, many would argue that politicians and political parties have found other ways to indirectly stifle the process. We talk about the money, huge amount of funds involved. But that's not just it. Why do we have a situation where we do not have youths come out in the way they should come out when we have elections or when we have to pick a leader? The way we saw the turnout for the NSAS protest, because if these youths had come out at the beginning, we may not have even had the NSAS protest, because perhaps we would have put in the right people into office and the NSAS protest and the lives that were lost at the end of the day may not have even happened at all. But we see a situation where we don't have that level of coordination, of mobilization, of youth involvement when we have to pick our leaders. The big question is why. So with me in the studio today is the spokesperson of the Rivers Civil Society Groups, Solomon Lenu. He is also the Director General of Rivers Youth Rescue Mission. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me, and good morning, Rivers people.
I think we should say happy, Idel Maulud?
Yes. Yeah.
To all our Muslim
congratulations to our Muslim brothers.
And all of them out there, our listener who's Muslim, happy Idel Maulud to you. But let's get straight to the conversation. First of all, what's your view? I think let's just lightly look at it. What's your view with how organized Nigerians were concerning the NSAS protest? What's your opinion on it, on the way they were collective and how everything happened? What's your take? What does that mean to you?
Well, first and foremost, I would like to state that I participated in the NSAS protest very actively, and we did all we did because we felt it was time to make a change. Although I have christened it a spontaneous action born by evolution, whichever way you want to look at it, no matter what happens, evolution is one thing that will always play its role when it's time. Whether mankind likes it or not.
You can only speed up the process sometimes.
Yes. So what happened in October last year for me was evolution. And the youths of Nigeria actually saw it as an opportunity to actually make the change that they have been desiring. Unfortunately, the evil that lurks around us also found a way to thwart the process of what, you know, would have been the best thing that could have happened to Nigerians. And I say so because the protest was tagged NSAS. But then, it was not just about SARS. NSAS was a means. The name SARS was a means to get to other end, which could be bad governance, corruption in leadership, failure of leadership and those that has been given the opportunity to lead the country to prosperity. So, the SARS that was added to it from the beginning was just, you know,
it was the catalyst, perhaps. It was
to start a process, to start what could have been bigger and better. Because if you look at it, SARS was just infinitesimal to the problems of Nigerians. You understand? Mm. Although at the time, the youth felt that they have had so much, they've taken so much from this SARS because they were interfacing with the youths almost on a regular basis, and the story was nothing to write home about. The story was a sad one most times. And then the youths actually picked up on that, you know, to start the process. And then relating that to the question that you asked from the beginning, why is it that there was so much zest, you know, so much determination around the NSAS?
Something about how it was planned. It felt maybe you can only say one spirit spoke to everybody at the same time.
That's why I said evolution. You understand? Mm. Because no matter how corrupt Nigeria will be, the corruption will only slow us down. But the time will come when the people will pick up their pieces and begin to demand for what is right, whether by the hook or by the crook, whether by peaceful means or by violent means. It will definitely come to that point. And the NSAS was just a peep into what could be if those that are saddled with the responsibility of making the right decisions or making Nigeria work refuses to do what they are supposed to do.
Many say we haven't seen our leaders rattled, is what many would say, in the manner that some of them were, the government were, and security agencies, everybody, because nobody expected something of that nature to happen. Where, you know, normally you would have parents even say, don't go out, or, and you have people who are afraid that they might shoot you, they might kill you, but it was almost like nobody cared about what you were going to do. The most you can do is shoot.
Yeah,
that's what allegedly happened at the end of the day.
Yeah,
because I mean, security forces are saying they didn't do anything of such. So, but that sort of energy and what we saw, why has it not been replicated in the process of selecting our leaders? Why don't we see that momentum? Why don't we see that level of interest from young people when we have an election or when we have to vote in somebody that in the first place could have even helped us avert all of those crises that we had to protest about?
Well, I'll give you my own analogy to why that is happening and why that will continue to happen if we don't come together to join forces to do what the RYRM is doing, Rivers Youth Rescue Mission, which I represent. And the reason is very simple. A man cannot grow beyond his level of education. Today in Nigeria, we don't have, the youths of Nigeria don't have the proper kind of education that will make them the change agents that they are supposed to be. You remember, there's always a cliche that the youths are the leaders of tomorrow and all of those things. But then you should, if you look carefully, you see that tomorrow never ends. Every day has a tomorrow. Like today, now definitely there will be a tomorrow. Mm. And you can live in that euphoria and die in it without actually making any impact.
So when you say they don't have the required education,
yes, I'll explain. For instance, if you know that, look, this leader that is going around forming to be your God, your savior, and all of that, because he has been given the mandate and he has the means now to make things happen. If you know that that leader is actually your servant, I'm sure that a lot of our youth will do things differently. Because part of the problems that we are having is because the youth and the people who should ask those critical questions of our leaders are the ones who are singing praises, clapping hands for them.
Maybe it's difficult, but you wouldn't blame them that much.
Hold on.
When you see the leader is the one who has the big house, the cars, the influence, the money.
I'm coming to that. That's why I said we have a faulty educational system. Right now, as I speak to you, the level of social education in Nigeria is very, very poor. The level of political education in Nigeria is also very poor. This education are things that are very, very key, which is supposed to be instilled in the youth, children from that childhood. You understand? They make you know that, look, the person who is in this leadership is supposed to be answerable to you, the masses, because whatever he's doing there is as a result of the money that you have given to him. It's like an employee to you, and you are his employer. But around our climb, especially in Nigeria today, the youth are not aware of this. They see the politician, the leader, as a god who has come to save them. So now, when you're looking at that God, no matter what he does, no matter how badly he performs, no matter how negative his decisions are impacting your life, because of the way you see him,
you can't find a fault with
you. Can't find a fault. Even when you do find a fault, even when they do find some fault, they don't have the onus to speak up. So now you see an army of young people who could actually rely on the strength in their number to make a change, who are praise singers to people who are actually killing them.
Well, how do you put this side by side? Because we've seen young people come out to campaign and actively involved in other ventures that may not be political. For instance, we have reality TV shows. I wouldn't say I was shocked, but then I saw youth protesting for one of the housemates for the recently concluded reality show, saying, oh, if this, and then they came out and they were, and it brought up a lot of conversation, because people were saying, oh, young people, you're doing this, we have big problems in the country, and these people, if we have elections, they wouldn't come out to demand for, or they wouldn't maybe have the thought to plan or mobilize themselves to say, let's do this. So is it that the youths aren't really interested, or they've lost interest in the governance system?
There are two different things. Yeah, not being interested and not knowing are two different things. Do you understand? For instance, as long as you are a sane person, you don't have any psychological impairment, there is no way they will put something side by side. And you know that this one is of importance to me. If I actually choose this one, it will better my life over this other one. You understand? And then a sane person will leave the one that will add value to his life and go to pick the one that has little or nothing to do with him. But then, if you don't know, in your state of confusion, you might just be going for the wrong things. Things that has less value, things that is of no importance, and that is exactly what we are seeing today. Though it is not just happening by chance, this is something that has been carefully orchestrated by this current generation of leadership. You understand? Because like today too, you look at, if you want to narrow down this issue to find out what is the root cause of it, you see that poverty too is playing a very important role in keeping us where we are today now. Because most times, some people have actually made some genuine efforts to try to reach out to this youth, to reawakening their consciousness. But because the people at the helm of affair has weaponized hunger and poverty, it becomes very hard. Right now, the people have been so hungry to a level that when you want to talk to them, the first thing that they want to hear is how much you are willing to give to them. At the very least, they want every youth of today want to be sure that as he's going home, after listening to you, there is something that he can actually use to fill his stomach. And that is the biggest problem. Because the politicians and the leaders, they created this situation. Now they are aware that the people have been beaten to submission and there's ravaging poverty everywhere, hunger everywhere. So now they know that if you waive the least $500, which is even not up to a dollar right now, you can get the youth to do whatever you want to do. And that's why if you call for an educative or educational seminar or program where you talk life into our youth, and then call for any political gathering side by side, you definitely find out that nobody will be at that venue as long as you're not sharing money. And every one of them will go to the political gathering because they feel that at the end of the day, something will be given to them.
At the end of the day, it's not the fact that they're even going there to scrutinize or listen to what the leader has to say and make up their decisions.
Nobody does.
At the end of the day, it's what they are sharing for the various people.
Let me even tell you the biggest problem that we are even having. And that's why I still narrow it down to lack of proper education, social, political education, and the part of our youth. Now, today, in the both political divide, the two major parties that we have in this country, there is just one thing that they emphasize the most, and that's loyalty. And that's the biggest problem that we are having currently. Right now, the both parties emphasizes on loyalty. For you to have any say, or for you to be recognized, or for you to be seen as a good party man, you must be ready to surrender your intuition, your ability to discern what is right or wrong.
We'll speak more
on
this.
Until you do that, that you'll be seen as a party person.
We'll speak more on this and even more, because when we return, I would like to ask you, and you've touched on it a bit, but is it possible that our leaders are taking advantage of the situation or intentionally creating this situation so youths can remain the way they are? I spoke to a youth who said they say about the leaders of tomorrow, they've been saying it for years on, but then still don't want to create that environment that would give us that opportunity to actually emerge. Well, we'll find out more. But meanwhile, you can send messages to WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. You can also drop your comments on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH. We're streaming live. You can watch and drop your comments. We'll take those as well after a return from this short commercial. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, you're welcome back from that short commercial. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. We're still here, 92.3 Nigeria Info, the Morning Crossfire. And the conversation has been on youth participation in politics and selection of our leaders. My guest, Solomon Lenu, spokesperson for River Civil Society Group, and is also the DG for RYRM. And we're looking at why we haven't seen, the NSAS memorial, like we said, is just around the corner, and you saw how people are already coming together, they are planning, and you're wondering, do we have this sort of preparation towards 2023, for instance, where 2023 is around the corner. So what are the youths doing? What is the plan? It's almost like when you watch any of the reality shows and then they like one housemate or like one person. You see youths, nobody is... I belong to some of the groups where you would see people going to do research about the person and telling you, this person did this. Okay, we are voting like this. Like there is... And you're asking in your mind, you're thinking, why can't we invest this sort of energy when it's time to pick a leader? Because if we have the right person in right position, we may not even need to be coming out to protest. We need a job, we need this, and we need that. Because you have the right person, will make those sort of things available. But then we don't have that situation. Which brings us to the next question I'm about to ask before we open up the phone lines. Off the mic, we were talking about a lot of things that I'm saying. It's
loyalty,
difficult.
Loyalty
is a problem. I was told somebody was telling me, "Oh, I'm lawyer syndrome." A musician says, "You won't make a lawyer till I get one back before you go help me." It's almost like you. It's not like loyalty is a bad thing, but I think like in our political space, the loyalty they mean is you can't say anything. Whatever I'm doing is right.
Of course, that's one big problem that we have, which we must deal with as a people. You know, politics was supposed to be a contestation of ideas and ideologies. Sadly, it has been replaced with the ability to be subservient, all in the name of loyalty. Today, the party's leadership demands loyalty from you. And I call it evil loyalty. You understand? Because for you to tell somebody to drop all of his thinking faculty to the drain
and just follow
and
you
just follow
wherever
you,
whether you're going,
is good or bad, even if the leader say go and kill somebody, go and renounce your membership to your family, whatever, just do it, because the leadership
they have a plan for
said,
you
have said so. And it is those kind of people too who are given the opportunity to actually be in position of authority, positions of importance. You see someone who has no idea, he has no resonance with an office, but just because he's perceived to be very loyal, they'll handpick him. Sometimes they are not even aware, but they are just looking at you. The moment you are able to submit
and show
yourself
that loyalty,
a lot, and they see that you're loyal, they'll pick you. They don't even care if you will fit into that position. They don't even care if you can add value, you understand, to that office. So, and these are some of the problems. So now, when you are given a position like that out of the blue, when even you yourself, you know that you're not equal or you're not qualified for that, you now see it as if you owe your life to that particular person. Leader. And then again, the large number of people who are queuing behind are looking at the scenario that actually brought this person, and they also try their best to do the same to impress the leader and the system, to hoping that will now also, you know, give them the opportunity to have such
like somebody said to me,
someday
said the youths who are preparing to steal when they get into power are more than the people already stealing. Somebody said that to me, and I thought about it. Well, it's not far from the truth, because if you ask the average person in a family, if somebody gets a political appointment, everybody's happy. Why? It's not because you want to work. It's our turn. So it brings us to some youths who have even found their way into positions of power.
Yeah.
We've had several youths, young people, and we're hoping that they can make changes. I mean, recently, Bawa is one of them for the EFCC.
Yeah.
And we have other young people. And some of them have done the best that they could. Many others have told the path of, I mean, Kogi State Governor is one person as well. Many have told the path of political godfathers and the rest of them. Wouldn't we also say that the youths perhaps... what would you say about those ones? I think that those ones that have found their way there, and you're expecting that, okay, this is a young person. So is it really a matter of a young person or a young mind?
It's not about a young
because
person.
Because the call is always about young people should be.
See,
young people should be.
I said this a few days ago when I also had a program on one TV station. I said, the reason why we are clamoring for the young people now is because we've given so much time, you know, to the elderly, and they've been there and they've not been able to prove themselves. What they've shown that they don't care, You understand? And on the issue of the few you two have made their way into...
The few young people.
Yeah, you know, positions of trust. And they've not done very well. The reason is simple. You cannot carry one person, you know, and put in the middle of a murky water, a system that has been so infested with corruption, and you expect that person, you want them to succeed. Sometimes they even frustrate you out of the system. So now, being what it is, you have seen that, you've seen the effort you made or what it took you to get there, and seeing that these people, if you don't conform or you don't walk along with them, they are going to frustrate you out. That's why you see some of the people who the youth conform. That's why you see them playing along.
So no choice but to bend.
Of course. And that's the reason why we are saying that the youth must be very, very strategic. We must go now for a new kind of education. Forget about whatever you were told in the school, in the university. Forget about whatever you were told in your family. Things has gotten bad.
Mm.
And right now, what we have to do is to come together and start talking and educating ourselves. Because these people will not, for any day, wake up and say, enough of these malfeasances that we have carried out, let us make a change. No. It is until they see something that threatens them, that is the time that they will now make that adjustment. And since they are not ready to make that adjustment, that's why we are even saying, let the youth withdraw their support. If you go on social media and see what is happening, my brother, you cry. The same youth that are dying, the same youth that are going hungry,
the same youth who are feeling
the pains of bad leadership, they are the ones that are fighting dirty on social media for the same people who are responsible for the calamity that they are going through. And you look at it like this, and sometimes your heart will bleed. But then it is an orchestrated event. It is not a spontaneous one. It didn't just happen.
So in other words, you're insinuating that the leaders, the politicians, do these things deliberately, cause all of these divides deliberately just to further impoverish
young people.
What
they do is very simple. They make sure that they give you half-baked education. And also our religious houses are not even helping matters. They give you half-baked education, you understand? They make sure that you're not comfortable for you to even do research about your own life and the things that you ought to know, you understand? So that when they do whatever they do, you will not know what to do to resist that thing that they are doing. Otherwise, it's very simple.
But I find it very difficult to believe that they would have to make you not want to. Because it's simple if you are a young person and you know, or you see a situation you don't like and you want it to change, and somebody has said, well, first thing you need to do is understand what the laws of your country says.
Yeah.
Nobody stops you from going to... There's internet. There's a lot of ways you can get access to get that information and read about it and know and find out the steps and learn. So is it not also just the problem of many young people not caring at all? All they need is, okay, this is the way they are doing it to make it. Myself, I would follow. If it gets to my turn, I make it.
There is nobody who doesn't care. One thing is certain. If you do a survey on the street and ask 100 persons how Nigeria is faring, you'll be surprised that 95 persons will tell you the actual state of Nigeria today, that Nigeria is not working and Nigeria is bad. That's to tell you that everybody...
Isn't that because they are not making enough money?
That's to tell you that everybody knows what the problems are.
Mr. Lenu.
But now, the issue is this. You know what the problems are. What are you now doing to change that problem?
That's where I'm coming
to. That now brings us to... Why I said is a calculated attempt. You understand? There's a level to which a man will be beaten down. Mm-hmm. A man will strive, and then he's not working. He will now start to give up.
We'll open the phone lines now. But think about this. You said something. Are you sure that if most of the youths on the streets have enough money in their bank accounts, eat well, have a good shelter over their head, and you ask them about Nigeria, you think they would be really concerned to say Nigeria isn't doing well? Don't you feel like they are saying Nigeria isn't doing well because economically they are seeing that they are not doing well?
But it is all
It's the same reason why they want to go to the US, because they feel there they will make more money, the economy is better, but the US is not doing well.
No, you can't say the US is not doing.
You can't compare to what we have.
And say the US is not doing well. That's an unethical thing to say.
But we have people in the US who live in the US. They have their own problems on a daily basis.
And they will tell you that problems, it's not doing well. Is synonymous to mankind. You can't take away problem from humanity. It goes side by side. You understand? But then you look at the kind of problems that you have in the US and look at the kind of problems you have in Nigeria. You also look at the problem you have in Nigeria. Were we supposed to have that kind of problem considering what God has done for us? Our natural endowment, the environment where we live in, and all of these things, the kind of money that, you know, we have handled and all of that. Were we supposed to be where we are? No. And that now makes our own problem peculiar.
Okay. The phone lines will be coming up now, so you can call in and make a contribution to 0817923-0002, 0817923-0003, 0817923-0007. Why don't we see our youths, our young people put in same vigor and resilience like they have with regards to the NSARS protest that we had, and now marking the anniversary of the NSARS and the shootings at the Lekki toll gate that happened. You see how the plans are building up towards that. Why don't we see same when it has to do with selecting our leaders? Why don't we see youths actively involved in the same fashion? That's the question that needs to be answered. We'd like to hear what your views are. But on Facebook, remember, you can be part of the conversation on Facebook. All you need to do is just follow us at @NigeriaInfoPH. A few comments here. I'll just take a few of them before we go to the phone lines. Edward Okajile says, good morning to you. The greatest challenge of youth participation in governance and election in Nigeria is the Godfather syndrome. Godfatherism is the bane of leadership and politics in this country, and until we address the evil practice, the youth are going nowhere. Very long message, but I have to stop there. It's something about the story of a slave who served his master for a long period of time, and then after he served and the master was satisfied, the master paid him and gave him all the money. You know what that slave did? He bought a land, cultivated it, made money, and bought slaves.
I think.
I don't know if you get the point, because he's saying Godfathers, and I'm thinking the people who are Godfathers now were young people.
And the people who are clamoring now...
When they get there, they'll want to be Godfathers too.
Well, I don't want to make an all-encompassing generalization to the fact that every other person that is clamoring now will also want to do the same. Mm-hmm. But I think our problem can be likened to the story of the elephant and the rope. You understand? The elephant who was tied to a leash from when he was small with a little rope.
And even when they lose it.
You know, even when he grows to maturity, whereby just a flex of the muscle could have unleashed it, he never remembered that he has gotten of age, and, you know, he continually remained there just because his mind has been conditioned to be
to
like
that.
And that's the way what's happening to our youth today now.
All right, JJ is calling from Rumigbo. Let's hear from JJ this morning. Hello, JJ. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew, and good morning to my friend.
Go ahead.
Let me start from the matter. NSARS talk was a very good one, but I think greed creeped in, especially when the federal government pushed in immediately. You know, the two of the protests, the federal government said, yes, we agree, they are 5 points. And then I said, wow, we never expected it. We thought the federal government would fight. So what we do now, let's add more. So that was where lose focus.
Did you call it greed, JJ?
Yes.
How would it be greed when you're demanding for something that's your right?
No, you came up that, let Andrew leave the studio. And you were thinking that the management will say, no, Andrew will not leave the studio and there will be a fight. Actually, the management just came and said, Andrew, leave the studio. You know, say, wow, let me add more. Your initial demand was that end SARS. And the federal government said, I am ending SARS. Now, they brought in bad governance, they brought in this government, they brought all sorts of things that they don't understand. Why Lagos was talking about 30-point agenda, but Akot was talking about 6-point agenda, the lobby was talking about 20-point, it becomes a free for all. You're asking for all legislators' money down. This one thing. There was so much confusion because of the greed. And that's what happened, bro. Now, to the area of the youth. Most of the people you're talking about that are elders today were youth those times. Wabi was youth and he did very well when he came in. in his first stop. Amechi, that is now Minister of Transportation, two times. He was, how many years when he was Speaker? He did very well. But as far as I'm concerned, the present youth now, they like to watch some video that they show on Garrison. They like to show Big Brother. They can sponsor people, send you car to vote for Big Brother. How come Big Brother has over 1 billion votes, but we can't even get 16 million votes in Nigeria?
I'll explain why.
What are they doing?
Thank you, JJ.
So as far as I'm concerned, they are not ready for anything. And give them small things, they will demand for the whole thing and they'll put themselves in confusion, just like what happened.
JJ from Rubo, thank you very much. I think you can't compare that with the reality TV show. One person can vote 75 times. If you don't, and then you could vote from 2, 3, 4 different devices, one person. So I think it's quite unfair to make that comparison. Chibroma from Uniport. Hello, Chibroma.
Yes, your guest said if we know the problem of the country, then what are we doing about it? Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes. What can we do if the government of the day doesn't want the people to raise up their head or speak out? Today, if you come for demonstration, they will send army to go and shoot people. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying.
Mm.
In a situation like, what can we do? In Kolu, here, Kolu was bad. Kolu's West Road was bad. The community came out to demonstrate that the road should be repaired. Army went there and gunned down one of the youths. And nothing happened. So you are in a helpless. Now, the government of the day, they want to start monitoring people's text messages and phone calls. The government doesn't want people to say anything. They don't want you to come out for demonstration because democracy guarantees demonstration.
All right, Chipoma.
Am I correct?
Yes, it does. You're free.
I don't know. Is there any other means one can express anger if government is not going the direction to help the people apart from protest, especially in democracy?
Dialogue.
Now, if you come and ask for demonstration now, they will send army to kill people.
Chibroma, thank you very much. August is calling from Oyigbo. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
First of all, I only want to thank your guest. Like something that I would have said on a normal day, that's everything he's saying. And I only want to commend him.
All right.
What I want to point out is that the analogy he gave about the elephant, that is land hopelessness, which is what Dr. Franklin talked about in his book, A Man's Search for Meaning, is exactly what is playing out. It has seen we are tied and then there is nothing we can do. Of course, the end-SARS protest was just an evidence that if we only would just come together to pursue a cause, it just shows the evidence of what can actually happen. And that was why the whole political system was set in.
Thank you very much for your contribution. Let's look at some of the messages on WhatsApp. Or loads of them. So it says, good morning, Mr. Andrew. I want to align my thoughts with your guest in the studio. The problem of leadership in Nigeria today is selflessness among Nigerian politicians. They make the masses poor in order to exploit the people by giving the people good education so that they will not know their rights. Okay. This person says, a government that is doing everything possible to deny the youths quality education is making the youths not to know and fight for their rights, as at when do Ezekiel Isaiah sent in that one. Ernest from Woji says, those people that are talking about NSARS made a mistake when they turned political. No government would stand and watch it be overthrown. If you don't conform, they give you bad name and kill you. What has happened to those killed at the Lekki toll gate? Sonny Choba. God bless you two for this topic. I've always said it. If people can come out to vote candidates of good character and based on monetary gains, and not based on monetary gains, we won't have to protest. And if people can analyze government based on true happenings in society and not party affiliations, then only can we begin to get it right. You will hear callers of PDP and APC supporters turning blind eyes to the truth, all for party gains. We'll just allow you to say a few words, Mr. Lennon, before we wrap up. We're almost done. I want to say thank you. But then, eventually, at the end of the day, what's the way forward for youth now? What basically can we do ahead of 2023 in a few seconds?
I will just use this time to just touch on a few things that they said. They asked the question, somebody asked, what can we do? Yeah, what we can do is that we will use the strength in our number. Whenever we see something that is not right, we need to all come out, not allow one or two persons. When you're few in number, they will oppress you, they will beat you down. But if we all come out massively, definitely they can't. And then also, we need to know that the leaders are like the TV box, the TV set, why the people, the youths, are the remote controls. You understand? So the remote control actually control what happens, what appears on the TV. So use your remote control wisely. So that's my message to the public. And if we do that, I'm sure that we'll gradually move out of this wood.
Thank you very much, Solomon Lenu, for your time.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Okay, and that's the much we can have on the show this morning. Thank you very much. Many more messages. Good morning. Every time one man is talking about a major career job, paid pension for hospitals and their security, I laugh. But I've not heard the completion of monorail. Now we're going to have that kind of conversation back and forth. Thank you very much for your time on the show. It's been very amazing. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Have a lovely day. And more programs will be coming your way. Cut to today at 92.3 Nigeria Info. Stay tuned.